Immediately jump into 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 18 through 20. Now, I want to encourage you to fasten your seatbelts. We have 16 minutes to cover 24 slides. So be ready and let's get your Bibles open. You'll get lost in the midst of this. In fact, we're not even going to look at the text at the beginning. I want us to talk about, in an introductory way, the matter of slavery as it's found in the Bible. Sometimes we know so much about slavery in America that we just transpose our understanding of slavery in America all the way back to the way slavery was in the Bible. Are you aware that the Jews had a situation in relationship to slavery where it was good to be a slave? And so a man might be a slave, and after he'd finished his time of being a slave, because during the year of Jubilee, every slave went free, and sometimes the slaves were indentured slaves and they only served for a brief period of time. But a man who had become a slave had such a good master. And we never think about good masters when we think of slavery. We always think about the evil masters there were in American slavery. But in Judaism, there were those good owners, and so a man could become a permanent slave. You know the song, do you not? Pierce my ear. Exodus chapter 21 said that a man who had a good master could say, I want to be your slave forever and ever. Why? Because he had a good master. And you stop and think about the fact that that in and of itself says, you know, it wouldn't be all that bad to be a slave. It'd be like living in a Holiday Inn if you had the right kind of masters. He'd bring your food to you every day, and you wouldn't have to cook your food. Now, you'd have to go out and work a few hours, but he'd be fair and just in relationship for you, and he'd provide everything for you, and you might want to be a slave. We tend to forget the fact that slavery can be good. But you and I need to understand that we are slaves to Jesus Christ. America's convinced us that slavery is inherently evil and vile, based on our history as a nation. And it was as a part of the history of our nation, not denying that. But you and I need to understand that it'd be possible to have a good slave. How would you like to be a slave of Jesus? That's exactly what you are. And so many times when the Bible talks about us being a servant of Jesus Christ, it is that Greek word for bond servant. And so we need to understand that being a slave of Jesus would not be that bad, because that's exactly what we are. But we need to consider also that the Bible, because it thoroughly supplies us unto every good work, tells slave owners what they ought to do. Consider the book of Philemon. Consider the instructions given in Ephesians and Colossians as he talks about those who own slaves and the way that they ought to treat their slaves right. And then this affirmation, he said to the slave owner, now remember that you are a slave to Jesus. And if you'll understand the expression, what would Jesus do? If Jesus were a slave owner, what would Jesus do? If I am a slave owner, then I need to be the same kind of slave owner that Jesus is. And there is that book of Philemon, where that runaway slave was converted, and then he went back, and now he goes back and has a Christian master. And Paul talks to Philemon about, you receive him back, he is your slave, but he's a brother in Christ. And you need to understand that. Here's an interesting scenario from the first century. Here's a man who was a slave 6 days of the week. He's a Christian. His master is a slave owner. When it comes time for them to worship on Sunday, the slave could be an elder in the church, and the slave owner would be told to submit yourself to the slave. I find that rather remarkable in view of the fact that sometimes we may have looked at slavery as only in a bad sense. Now then, admittedly, most first century slave owners were evil. They looked on slaves as in American history, as being just like having an animal that worked on a plantation. And that's the way that they were treated. But here's the problem first century Christians faced. And that's why these instructions are given in the Bible to slaves. How should a Christian slave look at his pagan masters? And that's really, really the issue. In the first century, most of those slave owners were cruel. I'm a slave to that master. Lord, tell me how I should behave. Now, we've entitled this lesson, Instructions to 21st Century Slaves. You may understand that a little bit later in this lesson. But as you begin looking at the text, go back and look at verse 18. There's not a lot in verse 18. Oh, there's a lot that could be said. But when you read verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. Isn't that amazing? That's not a lot to be said. And yet inherent within that is a discussion of the fact of everything that that slave needed to know. And that is, what's my responsibility? Very simply stated by Peter, you be submissive. In the second place, he says, you be submissive with fear. Sometimes we think of the fear being the idea of terror, and we'll notice that when Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, with trembling. But there is that matter of respect that is involved. He is the slave owner. You are the slave. And so there is a respect of all that we need to have just in the relationship to that arrangement. And then he says, you be submissive, you serve with fear, even if your master is a cruel master. That'd be hard to do. You stop and think about how abusive a slave owner could be. Anytime anybody abuses us, we immediately run out, and I'm talking about the fact that there are more pages of lawyers in our yellow pages than there are of churches. I don't know if you've ever noticed that about the yellow pages in our book. But in this place is where there's so many lawsuits, we tend all immediately to jump to the forefront and say, well, I'm just going to cause an insurrection among the slaves. Let me say this in the very introduction of this lesson. The principles of Christianity is what destroyed slavery. The principles of Christianity is what destroyed slavery. Go to the part of the world where Buddhism is rampant. Go to the part of the world where the Muslim religion is rampant, and their slavery is a part of their society. It's a part of their world. And so don't let anybody say, well, Christian, the Bible just brought about slavery. It did not. It is the principles of the Bible that destroyed slavery. But we mentioned the fact that Paul discusses this. And so at the bottom of the screen, we put Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. It just didn't seem right to discuss what Peter says in 1 Peter without giving the fuller description that's found over in Ephesians chapter 6. You look at that passage, and you have not only these three things that are stated prior to that, but he says, you be obedient with fear and trembling. That's very much like be submissive with fear. But he uses this word, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. And then he says, with sincerity of heart as to Christ. And in this passage, he's going to talk about you serve your masters because in serving your masters, you're serving Christ. And the way that the attitude that you need to have toward your master is the attitude that you need to have toward Jesus. Well, how do we serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we sincere about it? Oh, yes. And so the Bible says, if you're a slave, you be that individual who is that individual who gives your all. You're not just a slave who sits around trying to get out of work. You get in. Well, I like Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. And so in this passage, in the next verse he says, not with eye service. Not with eye service. What does that mean? Well, I went to a Christian school. I remember us discussing this at Athens Bible School. And somebody says, what does this mean, eye service? And the teacher says, It means you behave not like you behave when I walk out of the room. You understand what eye service is? When I taught school and I wanted to find who the troublemakers were, at the first of the year, I'd say, now, students, I'm going to leave you on your own for a minute. I've got something I need to go do. It may not take this long, but it may take 30 minutes. It probably won't take that long, but you just behave yourself while I'm gone. Well, the first 2 minutes, you're out. You look in that classroom and you immediately discover who the troublemaker is. You see the guy who's going to start showing off for everybody that's in there. And then when you walk back in the room, all of a sudden everybody dives for their books. You know what diving for your books is? That's eye service. And so here's that individual who is a slave. And so he uses the other side's men pleasers. He says, don't serve him as with eye service as men pleasers. And if you'll stop and you'll think about that for a moment, that's the way God wants us to serve that master. Then he says, you serve him as if you're serving the Lord. And notice how he keeps saying, unto the Lord, unto the Lord. If you're a slave in the first century, you need to think my attitude toward this master, even though he's not a Christian and even though he's a pagan, I've still got to serve him diligently. I'm not to just be that individual who works hard whenever the boss is around. I'm not that kind of individual. And then he says in verse 7 and 8, with goodwill doing service to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's slave or free. You see, when we're a slave, you're not just working for the day's wages. You need to understand that you are that individual who's working for the Lord. And the Lord will pay you the wages. Even if the master doesn't, judgment day is coming, and all of those wages, all of those things that are due you, will be given you. Now let's get back to the text. We've looked at verse 18. In verse 19 it says, for this is commendable. What's commendable? Who's going to commend you? The God of heaven is going to say, I'm proud of you. I want to commend you for what you do. If because of conscience toward God, one endures grief and suffering wrongfully. He endures it. Now, he could cause an insurrection. He could cause a chaos. He could lead a rebellion. But oh no, Paul says, or Peter says, that's not what you do. Because of your conscience. Now, what's that conscience? That conscience is that which is trained within us. That's almost a part of our soul. So that whenever we do wrong, it tends to haunt us until we do that which is right. You could not, at the end of the day, having been a slave and having understood that I'm to be a slave of this master like I'm a slave to Jesus, you could not, at the end of the day, sleep well. Why? Because your conscience would not let you do that. And so he says, for your conscience sake, follow your conscience and keep on enduring, even if it means that you may suffer but you must endure. And then he says, if you do evil and are beaten for it, that's in verse 20, don't worry about it. You are doing good before God, and God will reward you. Now then, here's the application to 21st century slaves. Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. You are a slave for 40 to 50 hours every week. You ever think about that? You've got to be at work in the morning. You don't have any choice about that. What are you going to do when you get to work? That slave owner at that work, and you young people could think about school teachers in relationship to this very same thing. That school teacher is going to tell you, this is what I want you to do. You are a slave. Well, why do you work? So you can have some money. So you can have food. Why were there first century slaves? So they could get food at the end of the day. And so he says to us who are 21st centuries, Slaves, you obey your boss. You be submission to them, even to those who are unfair. Isn't that the application of this? Well, why is all this in the Bible about slavery? Because it talks about things that impact our life. Somebody's not treating you right in the workplace. You still go ahead and do whatever they say. You do it with fear and trembling. You may lose your job. You may not be able to fear your... He's got all of the trump cards, and you have nothing in your hands. He could terminate you right now. Well, how am I going to respond to that? I'm going to respond to that serving Him, not because He's fair and just, but serving Him because I'm a Christian and I intend for the light of my life to have an impact on that boss. And they are school teachers, members of this church, who became a part of the body of Jesus because of teen young people who sat right in these very pews in this building. Why? Because she saw those two young men in the schoolroom. They were not with eye servants. They were not men pleasers. And they had an impact in her life. And that's why she became a part of the body of Jesus. Do what you do with the sincerity of your heart, because it may pay dividends. I put that in just for you to recognize. If you're the hard worker in the office and he's looking for somebody to promote, who's he going to promote? He's going to, that person who kisses up to him and who's an eye servant and who is only good whenever he's hovering over them, and he knows that person's a hypocritical in the work that he does. Oh, absolutely not. You go in there and you give it your all, and it doesn't always work out. Pardon me, it doesn't always work out this way, but it may work out this way to your benefit. You follow your conscience. You got to educate your conscience. Could I tell you something you need to remember about your conscience? Might really help you as something that might help you in your life. You may have never heard this, but don't you ever forget it. It's always right to do right. And you and I need to understand that in the workplace. How am I supposed to act whenever he's acting that way? You just do right. You just do right, because that's what Peter is talking about. Do not be an eye servant. Do not be that boss pleaser. Serve him like you would serve Christ, as unto the Lord. You will have justice because God will reward you. Now, I've not finished what this passage says about slavery. The very next verse says, look what Jesus endured when he was doing wrong. Well, that's part of that next lesson, because he's going to talk about Jesus is our example. But the context of Jesus being our example was the fact that even when he was created cruel and in a harsh way, he still responded doing what was right. Just couldn't cover all six verses, but can you believe we've covered 24 slides in 16 minutes? Maybe the age of miracles is not over. Seriously, though, you and I need to understand that being a bondservant of Jesus is what life is all about. That's what it's all about, folks. And I become a bondservant of Jesus willingly. It's not that as a slave in the first century was made to be a slave against his will. Oh, no. I willingly become a bondservant of Jesus, and I say to Jesus, my master, pierce my ear. Because you see, that Jewish individual who wanted to be a bondservant had his ears pierced as a sign of the fact that he had chosen willingly to stay with his masters. And so we say to Jesus, pierce my ear. Why? Because we believe in him. Because we're going to change our life and follow him. That decision to change is repentance. And Luke 13:3 says we must repent. We confess that he is our Lord and he is our master. He's the Christ. And we believe that. And we're not ashamed to admit our faith and confess our faith in him. And then we're baptized in order that by that baptism, that body that had been a bond servant of slave, and the members of our bodies that did that which was evil, those same members of our bodies become the instruments of God for living righteously. And that happens when we're baptized, when we've believed and have repented before we're baptized. We become a part of His body, a part of His kingdom. And He says, don't you give up. You keep being faithful unto death. If you need to become a Christian tonight, or if you need to be restored, won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing.